Welcome to In Christ Alone, a Bible teaching ministry of Dr. and Pastor Asher Matthew from Calvary Chapel, La Palma. To learn more about our ministry, visit www.calvarychapellapalma.org. Join us as we dive into the scriptures.
Genesis chapter 31. The title is Follow God's Direction. We are looking at only verses 1 through 21 this morning. There was a man named Robert, let me try to pronounce his last name, Kupferschmidt. Did you get that? Kupferschmidt. He was an 81-year-old man who had no flying experience. However, due to tragic emergency, he was forced to fly an airplane. On June 17, 1998, he and his 52-year-old friend, the pilot Wesley Sickle, were flying to Indianapolis to Munich, Indiana. During the flight, his pilot friend collapsed and died at the controls. The 172 single-engine plane began to nosedive as Kupferschmidt grabbed the controls, and he got on the radio and pleaded for help. Nearby, there were two pilots who heard the call, and Mount Comfort was the closest airport. And the two pilots gave him steady and stream instructions of climbing and steering and the scariest part of landing the airplane. The two experienced pilots from their two airplanes circled the runway three times before this somewhat frantic and totally inexperienced pilot ready to make an attempt to land the plane. And emergency vehicles were called in to this approaching disaster. Witnesses said that the plane's nose nudges in the center line and bounced back and forth before the tail hit the ground. The single engine plane ended up in a patch of soggy grass next to the runway. But amazingly, this man was not injured. He listened and followed the instructions of those two pilots as if his life depended on it, and he did. When you understand God and when you understand His Word, you need to apply that in your life, and it doesn't matter how many doubts you have about God's Word or how many things you have in mind against God. It doesn't matter if you are convinced that all are lost. What does matter is whether you have enough faith in the Lord today. Even the size of a mustard seed, as Jesus said, is sufficient to follow His direction. So those who do and those who understand, they get to the place where they're supposed to go. And those who don't, they end up lost in this world, somewhere far away from home. So in today's passage, we are going to study what Jacob did when the Lord began to direct his steps. So let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us as we look into His Word. Father in heaven, we come before You. We thank You for Your Word. We want Your Holy Spirit to be our teacher. Thank You for Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just two simple thoughts this morning. The first one, from verses 1 through 16, we see the basis of the decision Jacob had to make. The basis of that decision. There were three important reasons behind his decision. And the first of all, the first decision, or the first reason for him to make that decision to follow God's plan, was the hostility and the animosity he suffered from his uncle's sons. That means his cousins. The animosity and the hostility he suffered from his own cousins. So let's read verses 1 and 2 of Genesis chapter 31. Genesis 31, verse 1 and verse 2. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, "Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has acquired all this wealth." And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, his own uncle, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Hostility in his uncle's house toward Jacob. Because of his cousins, his uncle also began to treat him differently. Their problem was due to a jealous spirit and envious heart. And this enabled them to what? I believe, began to spread lies about Jacob, which affected his uncle Laban's attitude toward Jacob. And Jacob felt danger being in their midst. You know, when someone spreads lies about you at your workplace, when someone lies about you at your own home, when someone lies about you in your neighborhood, what happened to you? It is not a good place for you to be at. It's not a good atmosphere for you. And some people will fall for such lies and they behave what? Differently toward you. And what I'm trying to convey here is that we should never overlook envy and jealousy in our lives. Because God deals with each one of us. He is not pleased with such attitudes, jealousy or envy in our hearts. The Bible says it ruins a person's character. We studied in the past, and this verse I have given to you, Proverbs 40 verse 30 says, envy rots the bones. Envy rots our bones. Matthew 27:18 says, the Jewish religious leaders handed Jesus to be crucified. The Bible says very clearly, all because of envy. They handed over Jesus to the Roman soldiers to be crucified because of envy. So envy and jealousy are powerful forces of Satan, and we need God's help to overcome that. Instead, we need contentment. We need patience in the Lord. We need self-control. And this was the first reason for Jacob's decision to leave Haran. He understood this is not a good place for me because there is filled with envy and jealousy toward me. I have done nothing wrong. That is, was not a good atmosphere for him. The second reason is given in verse 3 of Genesis 31. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, then the Lord said to Jacob, what did it say? Return to the land of your fathers and your family, and I will be with you. Jacob understood, this is not a good atmosphere for my life. I'm a child of the Most High God, and this is going to influence me. This is not a place for me. And when he decided maybe I should leave from this situation, God spoke to him and said, Jacob, you're right, you need to return and go back to your father's house. God clearly told him to go back to the promised land, and we know the place name was Canaan. And when the Lord saw his difficult circumstances, God directed his steps. God sees whatever we go through in this life, whatever circumstances you are in, and God will direct us. God will help us. God desires to lead us. And at times, he will ask you to stay put and be content and committed to that situation. At times, he will do that because that's his way of doing it. As we sang today that song, you are a good, good father, and you are perfect in all your ways. Your circumstances may be different from someone else's. God may tell you, you stay put, you be committed, and stay strong. My grace is sufficient for you. And you can sing that song, you are a good, good father, and you are perfect in all your ways. But some other times, God will come alongside of you like he told Jacob, and he will say, you need to leave these circumstances. You need to come out of this. And God reminds and promised Jacob of his personal presence and protection. It was a repetition. God promised him 20 years ago while he was traveling from his father's house to his uncle's house. On the way, he stopped at a place called, Jacob turned the name of that place, Bethel, the house of God, where God met him and God promised him, I will be with you and I will lead you back to the promised land. So God repeated that promise after 20 years, and that gave him confidence. The promises of God are necessary for us. That is the only thing that helps us overcome our situations. God's promises gives us such an encouragement, tremendous encouragement when we face difficulties in life. Especially when we know, when we do not know where to go. Especially when we do not know what God has in mind for me in this particular situation. God's word can help us overcome. God's word can strengthen our inner man. And that is for us. We take food for our physical body. And we look at ourselves that we are strengthening ourselves physically because of the food we eat. But our inner man also needs food. And the food is what? God's holy word. The more you read, the more you hear, the more you meditate, your inner man is strengthened day by day. The muscles of the inner man is growing and getting stronger. So you will fight all the battles. You will stand against the enemy. You will overcome. Nothing will bother you because the inner man is strengthened because of God's powerful word. Psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and what? A light to my path." Your word is a lamp to my feet. A beautiful song has been written out of that by Amy Grant. And at times we need to memorize that words and hide that in our hearts. Yes, your word will be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now what did Jacob do? He was, remember last week we studied, they had a deal. Jacob and his uncle made a deal together. And Jacob asked for the spotted and the speckled goats and lambs. And he also promised his uncle that I will take care of your flocks. So Jacob was away from everyone, taking care of Laban's flocks for some more time. So he called for his wives to meet him in the field. Because two things. One, he understood this is not a good circumstance for me and my children and my wives. Two, God told him, as I promised you in the past, you're going back to your father's house. So he called for his wives to the field instead of meeting them in their tents. Why did he do that? So that no one would hear their conversation and report back to Laban stating that Jacob is planning to leave us. So he knew that Laban was more powerful with lots of servants and they would stop him. So Jacob followed God's leading here and decided to share his plans with his wives. So let's read the plans he had. Look at verse 4 through 13. Genesis 31, beginning from verse 4. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock. And said to them, "I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me before. But God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, 'The speckled shall be your wages,' then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said this, 'The streaked shall be your wages,' then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and I saw a dream. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, 'Jacob,' and I said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you.' Verse 13, 'I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family.' Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, 'Is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house?'" It was a great speech. And it was not a speech to defend himself and to receive sympathy from his wives. But it was his conviction based on God's word he received. And why did he share with them? He longed to hear their thoughts. He longed to hear their thoughts. We don't see him pushing them to his opinion. He was not commanding them to obey his words. And I believe this is a good reminder for each one of us to share God's heart with our family. Many godly women struggle at home because they are not informed of things related to work, friends, finance, parents, and so on. So what happens? There is no sharing at home. There is no communication between spouses. One should not feel forgotten at home. Whatever we do, I believe with my whole heart, it should be a joint decision and agreement. For example, where do we go for vacation? It should be a joint decision. Are we going to that marriage? Or are we attending this celebration or this party? Whatever decision is, may be very simple but practical, but it should be a joint decision, not just because one would like to do or one would or is not interested to do. It should not be one-sided. And that's what I believe. You may differ with me, but that is fine too. The good thing is, whatever we receive, we will enjoy it together. Whatever God blesses us with, husband and wife and children, we enjoy it together. But whatever we face, right, in this life, we will face it together too. That is the beauty of joint decisions. That's the beauty of agreement. Whatever we face, we are going to face it together. But whatever God is going to bless us with, we are going to rejoice and we are going to have great time. No one can personally then take credit. It is all because of my decision. It is all because of what I did that we are enjoying today. Or we cannot blame the other. It's all because of you this happened. When it is mutual, we will row the boat together. He also attributed all the success he had to God himself. He acknowledged God's protection in his life, verses 5 and 7. Then he finally shared God's plan with Leah and Rachel and the command in verse 13. And that's the third reason. Look at verse 13 one more time. Genesis 31 verse 13. It says, he's saying, this is what God told me. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, where you made what? A vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. The third reason, the Lord reminded me to fulfill a vow. The Lord reminded me to fulfill a vow that I made. Let's go back to Genesis 28, a few pages to your left hand side, verse 20. That was the vow he made 20 years ago. Genesis 28, verse 20 to 22. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me, this is way before he met his uncle and his daughters, way before he married, he was coming from his home, all the way to uncle's home, and he met the Lord at Bethel, and he made a vow. If God will be with me, this is he's talking to God, and keep me in this way that I am doing, I will give bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I will come back. See that? I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Verse 22, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. A promise he made before God. So now he got married and having children. He has 12 children. Many years later, and he's sharing the promise he made before God. And he reminded his two wives, Rachel and Leah, before I met you guys, I made a promise to the Lord. If the Lord bless me and he brings me back, I will come and worship him at this place. And I will offer a tenth of all that he has given me. A sacrifice of praise and offering in the presence of God. This is just a reminder. Let your S be S and let your no be no, as Jesus reminded us. When you tell the Lord, I'm going to worship you, I'm going to dedicate Sundays for you. Many of us may take decisions, Sunday I'm going to dedicate for the Lord. But then we forget about that after months and years later because other circumstances came into our life. Or you may dedicate, Lord, if you bless me with a good bonus this year, I'm going to bless missionaries. I'm going to help out this particular charity. But when the Lord blesses us, we forget. Just a reminder, practical information. Or I'm going to bless my family this year because God has blessed me so much. Then when the time comes, we forget about it. Sometimes, husbands, we may make a decision of that kind in the presence of the Lord. Lord, I'm going through lots of issues, struggles and pain, financial crisis. But Lord, if you bless me, I'm making a promise to you. And Jesus said that your yes be yes. And you might have taken a decision all alone, but it's your job to go and share with your family. I made a vow to the Lord, and please pray with me that I need to fulfill this before the Lord. What was their response? We want to know. We want to know. What was their response? Look at verse 14 through 16. Genesis chapter 31, beginning from verse 14. We read here, "Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, Is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? Are we not considered strangers by our own father? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money." That means he spent all our money, all our inheritance. Verse 16, "For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you," what's that? "Do it. Whatever God has told you to do, let's do it." They knew what happened to Jacob the last 20 years because they watched all the details. They knew how their father treated Laban, how he exploited him. They even agreed how their father ruined their own inheritance because of his selfishness. So they basically said, "We lost faith in our father and we are willing to do whatever God is asking you to do." Church, I believe those were words of faith in the God of Abraham, in the God of Isaac, and in the God of Jacob, their husband. That was words of faith. That should come out of the mouth of each one of us. Words of faith. Let's do it. Many years ago, we struggled financially a lot. Many times we thank the Lord for Bank of America, which they have a Visa card. When you are in debt, they will cover for you. Now God has set up all those systems for you, I believe. So we struggled, and many months we went through of that kind. So one day we sat together and we had a good discussion, Tenny and I, and she said, "The day I married you, I entrusted the whole finance in your hands, because you are the leader of this house." And she said, "I'm not asking how we are spending, but my first question to you, how is our giving?" That was her first question. How is our giving? She didn't ask me how much you gave and all the details, but she said, "How is our giving?" And I said, "I think we are giving enough for the Lord." Then she looked at all our finances and she said, "Whether we are dead or not, the first priority is for the Lord, and we need to set apart that." And so we decided every first Sunday of the month, we'll give to the Lord. Before we pay our mortgage, before we pay anything else, first priority to the Lord. We made that decision. For the last 15 years, God has been so faithful. All this time we were having debts. Since the day we made that decision, we began to give to the Lord first. Not only just to the church, but we began to also help pastors when they come and visit us from other churches, or missionaries when they come out. I go and meet missionaries, and before we leave, we give something. What I cannot do, and they are doing it. Since that day, we made that promise. It has been beyond our capacity to hold it. I mean, my point here is, from my life experience, when you make a decision, follow through it. There are a couple of Sundays I forgot to give on that particular day that we promised. And I asked the Lord's forgiveness. Lord, we made that decision. First Sunday of the month is for you. And I forgot because of all the responsibilities at church. This and that. And I asked the Lord's forgiveness. And I know He forgave me. But then I make sure that I brought it the next Sunday. Since that day, we have plenty. I cannot complain. The Lord is good. So, here, these two daughters of Laban sharing with their husband, let's do what the Lord is asking you to do. Let's do what the Lord is asking you to do. And those were words of faith. Put your words of faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of your own fathers, and the God of your husband, or the God of your wife. He's almighty. I believe without their support, Leah's and Rachel's support, Jacob would not have had the courage to take that step. That's the kind of support a man needs from his home. I believe that's the kind of support a man needs, a godly man needs from his home. But the rest of the family members recognize the leading of the Lord. But I also want to say, when our wives don't recognize the Lord's leading, that is a completely different thing. I have a desire and I may share, and I ask her to pray with it, and she say, I'm not feeling the leading of the Lord. And that's a different thing. Then you wait until the Lord confirms to both. But keep in mind, men of God, when your family is behind you, I want all of us to listen. This is for me and for all of us. When our family is behind us wholeheartedly, in your difficulties and sufferings and poverty and riches and failures, you will be able to face any trials boldly. When you know that our families are behind us, the support and the respect of family is crucial to us. The support and the respect of family is crucial. Many godly men struggle at home for not having respect and support of his family. That's a sad thing, and we need to pray for that. But I also want to warn all of us, including me, maybe first of all for me, if we go after the support of the world, if I go after the support of the world and gain everything from the world and lose my family support, there is nothing good in me. There is no satisfaction. There is no hope. Because since I didn't get support from my family, I went after the world, friends and others. That is not a good thing. Family, you know, in the beginning when God created, He created them, what? Male and female. And He brought them together and He said, now onwards you are going to be one flesh. So now be fruitful and multiply. Multiply. And that's the family unit God has established. And they must stick together and stand together to make decisions for the blessings of the household. We need to pray and trust God with our families. There's a verse on the screen for you. Psalm 133 verse 1. Let's all read that together. It is good and pleasant when God's people live together in peace. It is good and pleasant when God's people live together in peace. May everything we do based on God's leading and His desires. My second and last thought for this morning. We are also going to see a silent departure from his uncle Laban's house. Verses 17 through 21. Genesis 31 verse 17. Then Jacob rose and set his sons and wives on camels. And he carried away all his livestock and all the possessions which he had gained. His acquired livestock which he had gained in Paddan Aram. To go to his father Isaac to the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unknown to Laban and the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. Jacob, with the full support of his two wives, prepared for a quick and silent or secret departure from Haran. He utilized the absence of his uncle, father-in-law Laban, who was at a distance of 3 days or more journey, and it was a custom for them yearly shearing the sheep. It was a risky departure. Why? We are going to see next week when we study that because of what Rachel did. While they were leaving, one of his wives, Rachel, she went and took her father's idols without his knowledge. And she hid them in her saddle. Why did they have idols in their house? We do not know. Maybe Laban was influenced by pagan culture to have these figurine deities in his house. It would have been some kind of superstitious practice, and he used them to worship the true God. And that's a sad thing when we do things that are contrary to God's word and his revelation, our children will pick up on those things. So in his absence, Rachel went and grabbed those things, and what did she do? Without permission, and she hid them in her saddle. It would have been idolatrous. I'm not talking about traditional practices. Each family has its own tradition, a custom carried out by our family. For example, Thanksgiving that is coming up. We are not talking about that. So that is why this coming Thursday we are going to concentrate on superstitious practices. So it seems Rachel was captivated by her father's attachment to these objects, and she took them, thinking that my father has been using these things, so there could be some benefit in this. So I'm going to use them as we are moving out of Haran into my new home. Some believe she possessed them, thinking that this is going to create fertility in me so I can bear more children for my husband. Or someone others say that she did not want her father to use them to inquire about their departure. Or it guaranteed her rights to Laban's inheritance after his death. Or maybe Rachel did this because of her father's decision to deny her rights to be married to Jacob first. And instead of her, he gave Leah to Jacob. Now, through all this, she turned the tables on her father, Laban. What we see here is a silent departure. We know silent departures or secret moves have always something to hide or something behind it. Two things are evident here. First of all, let's look at Jacob. Jacob was fearful that Laban, his sons and servants would stop them. So he wanted to leave as quickly as possible without proper goodbyes. He wanted to leave because of fear. We know that fear is not a good thing. And he lacked his confidence in his God, who promised him, "I want you to go back and I'm going to be with you." We read that verse. God promised him in verse 3 of Genesis 31, "Go back and I'm going to be with you." Fear took over him, and he relied on his own wisdom and strength to devise the plans to move such a big family with servants and flocks. We know that Jacob forgot for a moment because fear took over him. You know that when fear comes upon you, you forget God and his promises. Immediately you will look at your mountains or your circumstances. Your eyes will be on it because what? Fear is completely leading you. And he forgot when God leads that he prepares all the details. And he could have left Haran as a champion, but because of fear, he left as a coward. Look at this verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. Let's read that together. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God has not given us fear, but then who has given that? It's from Satan then, such type of fear. What God gave to us is power and love and sound mind. God's power, God's love in our heart, and a sound mind. A clear mind everything is going to be what? Okay, he's going to lead us. Second thing we see here is Rachel's stealing of his father's property, his teraphims or these idols, to gain control of everything that he possessed in his life. So she too had something to hide here, and that was not hers. What happened? Fear took over her as well. So she forgot the fact that God provides and he leads and he guides and he leads us with his presence. She forgot that it was God who opens doors. She forgot that it was God who closed doors. So from these lives, from looking at Rachel and Jacob, may our trust be in the Lord who is for us. And when he is for us, who can be against us? May we have that boldness to follow his heart. May we be truthful and trustworthy and stay away from any form of evil, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which we learned a few weeks ago. Stay away from any form of evil, because she is hiding something, and that is a form of evil. And then wherever we go, what happens? We don't need to fear anyone. Wherever we go, we don't need to fear who sees and what others might think of us. When you know that, God placed that in my heart. And for his sake, and I'm doing this. You don't need to fear anyone. You know, I came across two statements on following directions. So first one, it says, it's a good statement. It says, get your direction before you try for distance, right? Get your direction first before you count the miles. It's going to take me 200, 300 miles to get there. Before you count the miles, what do you need? You need direction. Second one is, when a man does not know what harbor he is headed for, no wind is the right wind. When a man does not know what harbor he is headed for, no wind is the right wind. Typically nowadays we use a global positioning system, which is known as what? GPS. A GPS is important and great to direct us to our destination. We all need a GPS system and we all use it. Today we don't need it anymore in the car, it's on our phones. Wherever we go, we have a GPS system that gives us direction. But we need to be tuned to the right satellite or else it is useless. We can also have the right address, but if we don't follow the guidance, we will never reach our destination. The GPS lady will continue to tell us, right? You need to take a U-turn here. You need to go back. Men, when we went for retreat, remember we had fun with that. It was telling us, you need to make a left turn here, and we will keep on disobeying the GPS lady. You may put the right address, but when the instruction is given, if you don't follow, you will end up somewhere else. Too many times we try to figure things out on our own with our own strength, and that's what Jacob did. He was trying to use his own strength to fulfill what God was asking him to do. And this is what the Lord taught us today. Everything we do and everything we decide in this life should be based on the Lord's leading and his word. Everything we do, it should not be because of a feeling that came upon us. It should not be because of a selfishness that came upon us. All what we can do is wait on the Lord and trust in him and in his will, so we do not need to allow fear to take over and control our life. And I hope all of us this morning will receive what the Lord has taught us today. Amen? Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word always penetrates our heart. Lord, we thank you for helping us this morning. Thank you for the direction you gave us through your word. Help us to receive your word. Help us to receive this correction, the conviction and the challenge you place before us, and the encouragement you gave us through your word. I humbly pray that, Lord, you give us a heart to follow your direction. We thank you for your word. Lord, we know that we need your word in this life to live in this world. I pray that you would forgive us for stepping into our own wisdom and knowledge and selfishness. and we make a mess out of things. And I pray that you would protect us from all those things. As the word of God has been given, and the Lord has spoken to each one of us, for to some it may be correction or encouragement or a challenge. However the Lord has spoken to you, as all the eyes are closed and heads are bowed, in obedience to God, please raise your right hand that I may pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Please put your hands down. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you. Please put your hands down. Thank you. Father, we lift these dear ones in your hands. Father, your word is for all of us. And especially thank you for those who raise their hands in response to your word. Jesus, without your word, we cannot live in this world. We will fail. We often fail in our walk, Lord. But your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Please lead us according to your word. We offer our hearts at your presence because of your word. Father, give us grace to overcome our situation. Give us the strength. I pray that you fulfill your word in our lives. Jesus, may you be exalted in our midst. And I thank you for all those who are here and all those who heard your word. Maybe someone was not willing to raise their hand. I pray that you would minister to them too. Encourage them, Father. Lead us and guide us in this life. Or if someone is praying for something in their heart at this moment, I pray that you would hold them together. Give them the peace they need at this very moment. Father, bless us together. We thank you for your word. And we are indebted to you. All praises at your feet. In Jesus' name we pray.